In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about asking questions. I mentioned that I had had a fall which caused me quite a bit of pain not very long ago, and part of God's reason, I'm sure, for allowing that to happen was that I needed physical rest, but it was during that physical rest where I couldn't do very much except sit in a recliner chair beside the window and read and pray and think. It was during that I began to think more about the kind of rest that Jesus wants to give us, much more important than physical rest. We do become weary and overburdened, and a great deal of our weariness and burdensomeness comes from worry and anxiety and the pressures of life. And although it may not look as though this is the remedy for that at first glance, if we try it, we find out that it is. Put on my yoke and learn from me. And in my case, it just so happened that putting on the yoke of Jesus at that particular juncture meant a willingness to accept the pain and to say, "Thank you, Lord, you assigned my portion and my cup. Now teach me all that you want to teach me through this experience and make me gentler and humbler. I'm not naturally either one. These are supernatural qualities. These are spiritual qualities, gifts from God Himself. And to the one who is willing to receive it, He gives that gentleness and that humility. But there's also something for us to do. We have to come, we have to put on the yoke, and we have to learn. And to wait on God, to learn from Him, we need to be silent before Him. And I was thanking the Lord every day during that period of inactivity for the privilege of waiting on Him and being silent. It was providential that I didn't have any speaking engagements scheduled. I didn't have a great deal of mail, which seemed almost miraculous at that time. I didn't have any deadlines that were not already met. And so I had the opportunity to wait on Him and to be silent before Him. And I tried to avail myself to the full of that opportunity. And this psalm came to me then, Psalm 62, "Truly my heart waits silently for God. My deliverance comes from Him. In truth, He is my rock of deliverance, my tower of strength, so that I stand unshaken." I began to ponder the fact that He was my strength in the midst of physical weakness, that He was my salvation, my deliverance, not from an accident. He did not deliver me from a physical accident. He did want to deliver me from myself, to teach me more of what it means to put on His yoke and find rest for my soul. Obedience alone holds open the door for the entrance of the Spirit of wisdom, someone wrote. Obedience alone holds open the door for the entrance of the Spirit of wisdom. It's no use asking for wisdom if we're not obeying. Many things cannot be seen or understood in the spiritual realm until and unless we obey. So also it is in this earthly life. You know how it is when you, or how it was when you tried to learn to swim. You couldn't understand swimming. You couldn't figure out how the water was going to hold you up until you began to exercise trust. And you do what the coach says. And the coach says you've got to let yourself go. You've got to trust the water. You've got to relax. 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 The water will hold you up. Well, how's the water going to hold you up when you're sinking? Well, trust. And that same principle, it works in the earthly life, works in the spiritual realm. We cannot see or understand spiritual things until and unless we obey. Remember that Job had 1,000 questions to ask God. He went on and on and on, asking God, accusing God, wallowing in self-pity at times, wishing he'd never been born, wishing he had died, wondering why God continued to give breath to a man who was in such misery. And God didn't answer the questions. He didn't defend himself. The answer was the revelation of God himself, a personal encounter, not an intellectual demonstration. The proof that Job was demanding, the explanation, was no more and no less than God speaking directly to the man, to the heart of the man. In John 16:23, Jesus said, "In that day you will ask me no question." I go back to that every time I think of the questions that I would like to ask Jesus when I see him. I really don't think any of us is going to have one single question to ask him when we get there, because we will know as we are known, and I shall be satisfied, the psalmist said, when I awake with thy likeness, when we see him face to face. In one of George MacDonald's novels, which has been put out in a modern form, so you don't have to struggle with the Braid Scots, it's the novel called The Shepherd's Castle, and I would recommend that you read all the George MacDonald stuff you can get your hands on. The Shepherd's Castle was originally Donal Grant. That was the original title, and I have the original book. But in this fictional selection from The Shepherd's Castle in the modern version, we have an encounter, a dialogue between Donal and somebody else. I'm not sure who it is he's talking to here. "The shield of God's presence must have been over you," says Donal. "How glad I should be to think so, but we have no right to think so till we believe in Christ. And it is a terrible thing to say, I don't know that I believe." "Whoever taught you that will have to answer for teaching a terrible lie," said Donal. "I know he makes his sun to shine and his rain to fall upon the good and the bad, but that is only of this world's things. Are you able to worship a God who will give you all the little things he does not care much about, but will not give you help to do the things he wants you to do, but which you do not know how to do?" says Donal. And the other one says, "But there are things he cannot do till we believe." And Donal replies, "That's very true, but that does not say that God does not do all that can be done for even the worst of men to help them believe. He finds it very hard to teach us, but he is never tired of trying. Anyone who is willing to be taught of God will be taught, and thoroughly taught by him." And his friend says, "I am afraid I am doing wrong in listening to you, Mr. Grant. I do wish what you say might be true, but are you not in danger, you will pardon me for saying it, of presumption? How could all the good people be wrong?" The answer is, "Because the greater part of the teachers among them have always set themselves more to explain God than to obey him. The gospel is given not to redeem our understanding, but to redeem our hearts. That done, and only then, our understanding will be free." I can't emphasize strongly enough what a great debt I owe to these people whom I quote so often. I certainly don't want to be guilty of plagiarism, and so I usually give you the source of my quotations. C.S. Lewis became a Christian through the writings of George MacDonald, and he mentioned over and over again what a great debt he owed to him. Well, I owe a great debt both to C.S. Lewis and to George MacDonald, not to mention many, many others whom I quote. But I have discovered in these novels of George MacDonald's that fiction has a power that nonfiction doesn't have. We're drawn into the scene. We identify with the characters. And it holds up a mirror, and we suddenly see ourselves. And the truth of God sort of creeps up on us, sneaks up on us, in a way that we're really not prepared for because we're not braced against it as we are when we listen to a sermon. So think about this dialogue here. This person didn't think that a person could possibly expect God to be present with them if they were not a believer. And he gets the idea that only because the sun shines and the rain falls that God does this for the good and the bad, but that's only this world's things. And Donald says to him, are you able to worship a God who will give you all the little things he doesn't care much about, like sun and rain, but will not give you help to do the things he wants you to do, but which you do not know how to do? If you're hungering for God and you don't know him, turn to him. Ask him for help. He will help you. He will help you to believe, and he stands and waits for you with open arms.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.